This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today on the Community Matters program are John, Wendy, and Barb from the Revitalization Youngsville Project and from the Youngsville Heart and Soul Committee. And thank you all for joining me today. I am very excited to be able to learn a little bit more about Youngsville, discuss some of the interesting things that have been going on in Youngsville over the course of the last few months. And I'm excited to kind of give everyone a quick overview of just all the different businesses in Youngsville, from new to old, just kind of give people an idea of what we have in this Warren County community that's pretty close to where we're at here in downtown Warren. And, you know, after we're done with that, I also would like to discuss with you guys the upcoming parade that's going to be taking place on December 3rd. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to covering a lot of this, and certainly really appreciate you having us on the show here today. So I'm fortunate to be involved with a lot of great people. The Revitalization of Youngsville board sort of had a relaunch here recently, I guess I'll put it that way. We kind of got a lot of community residents, business owners at the table. And started to do a dive into, you know, how can we best serve our community? The timing was really great with a grant that the Youngsville Borough got for this Heart and Soul initiative. And the primary focus of the Heart and Soul is to kind of take a look at, poll the community, poll the businesses and see what is it that they want. What do they love about the community? What would they like to see? What do they maybe miss that we no longer have? Gather that information. They call it storytelling. And eventually compile that into kind of a plan that can be implemented, bring some revitalization back to the town. So from the Roy standpoint, we're able to kind of work hand in hand with Heart and Soul, right? It makes sense for us to see what kind of information comes out of that and then help to establish our efforts towards those end goals. We did a number of things over this past year to kind of get ourselves back up and going. We brought back the Corn Festival just to add a little fun back to the community. Yeah. We use that as a platform to gather some of those stories from the community. We've been trying to work hard to help businesses get established in the Youngsville area and are starting to develop our plans for the future and what we hope to see there, what kind of events, activities, and hopeful business that we can drive.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. It seems like a really great opportunity in downtown Youngsville. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, I'm kind of interested to, you know, hear a little bit from Barb and Wendy about this and get some ideas from them. You know, what are some of the things that you've had people bring up to you that you've said, well, we got to figure out a way to make this happen in Youngsville?
A lot of the feedback that we're getting from our residents is the hometown feel. That is one thing that we keep hearing over and over again, the small town, hometown feel. So whatever we do in our community, we'd like to keep that in mind as we're developing, you know, Youngsville. What other things, Barb Headley?
Another issue or thought process that has come forward is senior living and making commerce more accessible to the seniors within the downtown community and make it accessible via walking. And to what they would like to see is more commercial businesses downtown that would be better utilized by the senior citizens within the area. So that's what one thing that they would like to see come into the community is some more businesses that would be advantageous for the seniors.
It's really fascinating to see and think about there when you kind of take the thing that I find fascinating about this is using and taking stock of just, you know, understanding the demographics of the area of what we have and, you know, trying to figure out the best way to make use of what we have demographically and make the best use of it for everyone, really. And I think that would be a really wonderful idea to have a walking path that would allow more people to be able to, you know, travel that area a little bit more freely there. I think that that's a really amazing point there. Now, one of the things that I'm very excited to be able to talk to you about and very interested to learn a little bit more about is, you know, when we talk about some of these businesses in downtown Youngsville, we're talking about businesses that range as far as how long they've been in the community from, you know, just recently just opening up to, you know, 20, 30 plus years in the community. So, you know, would you guys mind going through and just giving us a list of some of the different places that are here in the Youngsville community?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we are fortunate. I tell you, in Youngsville, we have a lot of great businesses within our community, and I'll name a handful of them and apologize in advance for the ones that we don't get to today. But just, you know, some exciting new ones that have popped up, I guess. Kim's Logging Supplies has been a new business to the community, specializing in sort of outdoor apparel and things like that, for people that work outside, whether they're logging the oil fields and those sort of things. They also just added virtual golf to the upstairs, which I think is really cool. They're planning on doing axe throwing down the road up there. So they're, you know, adding some fun to the community. Youngsville Homebrews just opened up, which is a coffee shop, and they have some baked goods and things of those nature. The Galley has reopened in town. You know, and then we have the places such as Huey's, hair salons. We have Lonnie's Pizza, which is a new business to Warren County, into the Youngsville area specifically, actually being honored at our annual dinner at awards here for the chamber. But it's awesome pizza shop. You get subs, pizza, calzones, those sort of things. When the weather's nice, you even have some outdoor seating where you can go and sit down. So really, and again, I think that goes back to that small town feel, the hometown feel, right, where people come out, be together. We have you know, the Genuine Jerky Shop.
Youngsville Hardware.
Youngsville Hardware has been in the community for a long time, kind of some new ownership in the past couple years here, and really a big part of our community and getting active and engaged. You know, what's really nice, I think, is you see a lot of these business owners coming and being part of revitalization, being part of Youngsville Heart and Soul, and really providing their feedback on how they would like to see the town grow. So, you know, although it's a smaller community, there's plenty to do and plenty of fun to be had.
Absolutely. You bring a really good point to that there. And one of the things that I like that you mentioned with that is, you know, when you think about all the different businesses that are there, it really is a pretty awesome downtown area to be able to just go through and walk through if you want to. And, you know, you have a great opportunity when you're walking downtown to see just a good variety of different businesses of the different types, like you mentioned, that are downtown that are easily accessible for people that want to walk to them. And you can get things that, you know, have been consistently here in the community that people have come to know and enjoy and love, like Huey's, that have been around for, you know, forever. And then you look at some of the other places that are new and opening up, like Youngsville Home Brews and some of these other places. And I think that it really just makes an amazing opportunity for people to come down and see Youngsville. And, you know, I really think that people should be able to come down and do that. And I understand you guys are holding an event that's going to be giving people a pretty good opportunity to do it. And it's going to be coming up in a couple Saturdays from now.
Yeah, that's right. We're gearing up for our Youngsville hometown Christmas. So we'll have a parade and some downtown activities going on. And I'll probably turn it over to Barb and Wendy to kind of fill you in on some of those details.
Yes, we this parade and the Christmas, our hometown Christmas has been gone on for many, many years. Judy Kuzminski and Carrie Hendrickson took it over 6 years ago. They were actually thinking about not doing the event, and they said that can't happen. We still have to have this event. So they volunteered to spearhead it, and they've been doing it for the past 6 years. And again, this year we're expanding a little bit. We're doing a gingerbread house contest. There's three different categories for that: 8 and under, 9 to 17, 18 and older. And there's prizes to go along. The first place prize is $50. Second place prize is $25. And third place is $10 for that gingerbread house contest. So we welcome anyone to, you know, grab an entry form and enter those. They have to be dropped off the fire hall at the Friday before, between 5 and 7. But anyone's welcome to enter a gingerbread house in the contest.
Oh. We also have a light up your holiday Christmas house decorating contest. The judging will be the night before the parade on December 2nd. And there's various categories for that, and a first and second and third place for those. Same $50 gift card for first, $25 for second, and $10 for third. And all of the entries for these can also be found on the Youngsville Heart and Soul website, so that they can go there and get the entry forms if they want them. And then in the parade itself, we have a contest or entry for floats, that there will be prizes awarded for the floats in the parade as well.
Wow. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a really great opportunity for people to be able to get out and take part in a few different things like that. I know personally, it'd be a lot of fun if I knew someone that was creative enough to make a really cool gingerbread house like that. I think it'd be pretty cool. And I mean, honestly, I'm just excited to be able to see them. I think it's going to be awesome to see the creativity that people are able to come up with. And I think that that's going to be a lot of fun. So when is this going to be kicking off, and how is it going to be getting started?
The parade will kick off at 4 p.m. on December 3rd.
Police are usually the leader of the parade, our police patrol. Our
Grand Marshals.
Yeah, the Grand Marshals of the parade. And Santa Claus is going to be our special guest. And for some reason, every year, the lights are not working on our Christmas tree or in town. And Santa Claus, usually with his magic, makes those lights come on the tree and in the streetlights all at the same time. Every year, he works his magic. And that happens. So we're hoping this year Santa can do the same thing if we have problems with our lights.
If people want to get involved, like you mentioned, with the gingerbread house and things like that, is there going to be a centrally located place where some of these activities are going to be taking place?
Entry forms can be found at the borough office, or they can be on the website. If they want more information, by all means, they can call the borough at 814-563-4604, and we can provide the information to them on how they can enter these contests.
The gingerbread house is going to be taking place at the fire hall. Mm-hmm. That's where all the judging will take place for that. All through downtown, the streets will be closed off, of course, for the parade, but we will have various businesses involved in the activities, and we're going to have
25 different vendors.
Yeah, 25 food. Different vendors with different food, and we'll have kettle corn and hot cocoa and a lot of
homemade chili.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that's going to be at the parade is going to be free at this event. There isn't going to be a lot of that people are going to have to spend.
Yeah, that is one thing that they want to make sure that this event continues. Christmas time is such a difficult time for some families, and they want to be sure that there's a lot that is offered for the kids, free gifts for the kids, you know, throughout the town. So come on down and have some fun.
Well, you know, I can't think of a better way to get into the Christmas spirit than going down and doing a little bit of walking through downtown Youngsville on a beautiful Saturday night, especially when you get a little bit of the snow falling there right after the parade. And it's just amazing once you get the lights going. It's going to be so much fun. So with that being said, I wanted to kind of, you know,
YoungsvilleHeartAndSoul.org.
Thank you all for taking the time to join me today to be able to talk about this. I'm glad that we could highlight these things. And
we did invest some Roy funds to get some new decorations and things like that for Christmas in the Youngsville area. So, you know, I'll shamelessly plug that here as we try to get the word out, so people start to really connect with the organization. And we're always looking for new people to get involved. More people, the more businesses we can get involved with Roy, with Youngsville Heart and Soul, and just the community in general, the better we can serve.
Because Youngsville begins with you.
Youngsville begins with you. That's
our tagline.
Thanks so much, Aaron. I greatly appreciate your support.
America, the most powerful nation on earth. The power to make decisions affecting your life begins here in Washington.
But how do you know if the people here, the people you elected, are really representing you? I'm Rachel Knapp, and that's our mission here in Washington. We know there's a lot of places you can get coverage from our nation's capital, but there's only one place where you can see what your local lawmakers are doing.
Washington Bureau Reports with Rachel Knapp. Coverage you can count on. Only on Erie News Now.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
It's been nearly 9 months since Russia invaded Ukraine. Soon after the war started, we sent our crew to Poland to cover the refugee crisis, and we've sent our crew back to Europe again to continue reporting on the war. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Rachel Knapp, was in Hastings, England, where she had a chance to reconnect with refugees that she met months ago in Poland.
In the English coastal town of Hastings, a small group of Ukrainian refugees sing and give birthday wishes to another Ukrainian refugee. That's Natalia, and you might recognize her. After the war began, we met her and her son, Peter, at a train station in Poland. They were on their way to England, where they are allowed to temporarily stay.
When we come here, we were so lost. We didn't know what to do, where to go. And the government created a great system to help Ukrainians.
We also met with the strangers who offered them a place to stay at their home here in Hastings.
Well, it's been wonderful. I mean, it takes a bit of adapting and getting used to having somebody in your home.
But after months of living together, they have since become more like family.
We cook together every evening and we sit round at the table, which is a nice thing for all of us. I think it's a very rewarding thing to do if you can get it right.
Our crew in Europe is going to be heading over to Poland next and then into Ukraine. You can follow their content either on ErieNewsNow.com or during their Erie News Now broadcasts. With a look at the news, I'm Aaron Mee.
Our coverage of stories from Ukraine continues, and yesterday our crew visited the Poland-Ukraine border following the missile strike in Ukraine. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent Rachel Knapp reports.
It's a cold and rainy day en route to the Ukraine border crossing in Medyka, Poland. And when we got there, we were surprised about what we saw, or rather, what we didn't see. Last time we were here at this border crossing, it looked completely different, just full of tents with people volunteering. When we visited this border in March, Ukrainian refugees continuously crossed into Poland. They were greeted by a variety of volunteers and organizations, helping them travel into town, get free meals, and more. But now, it feels empty. Just one day ago, Russia launched a series of missiles across Ukraine. And tensions were raised even further after NATO says a Ukraine air defense missile most likely caused an explosion in a Polish village about 2.5 hours away from here.
They were safe. They were in Ukraine at the moment when the missile strike happened.
This family, who lives in the middle of Ukraine, says they were in a safe place when the strike happened. And while this family left Ukraine for Germany, some Ukrainians are headed back into the country.
I'm living really close to the border, and that's why I'm less stressed. But I understand that people who live maybe far from the border, they are most stressed.
And they have a message for us.
I'm really happy that you don't have a war and that you don't that you do not experience that. I'm really happy for you that you're safe, and I wish you this.
And Shimishil, Rachel Knapp, reporting.
After assessing the situation, our crew is going to be heading into Ukraine today, where they'll stay for a few more days. With a look at the news, I'm Aaron Mee. Our coverage of stories from the Ukraine war continues. Our team traveled across the Polish border into Ukraine, and our reporter Rachel Knapp shares with us what life while their country at war is like.
Other than just a checkpoint or two along the way, driving through the western Ukrainian city of Lviv looked just like a normal day. We saw several people play in the snow, grab groceries, and be out and about. But there were some very noticeable irregularities.
I used to think that nothing can stop me from working because I work online actually these days. And now we're having these problems with the electricity.
This English teacher says after the Russian missile strike from 2 days ago, electricity has been unreliable. Even in a restaurant we briefly popped in, diners had to eat in the dark.
We haven't had it since today morning, and I'm pretty sure that it will be tomorrow the same, and I'm not sure whether it's on a regular basis or it's just a temporary situation.
And even though the fighting is predominantly in eastern Ukraine, they say nowhere is truly safe. They'll still hear the air alarm sirens often, signaling people need to find a bomb shelter or a place to hide for sometimes up to 4 hours long, disrupting their work or daily lives.
It's scary, especially since the recent events happened, like the day before yesterday.
Our team is going to remain in Ukraine for the next few days, collecting more stories to share with you. If you'd like to stay up to date with what they're doing, you can watch Erie News Now at 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.